Today's daf is Chulin daf Tzadi Beis. We are holding on daf Tzadi Alfin Beis. The last thing we said, we were going through the great milos that Klal Yisrael have over the Malachim. And we were saying when it comes to praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there were three specific milos. First of all, Klal Yisrael has the ability to say Shira B'chol Yom. The Malach HaSharis, it's either once a day. Well, Klal Yisrael can say B'chol Shah rather. The Malach HaSharis, it's either once a day, once a week, once a month, once a year, once a Yovel, once a Shemitah, once a Yovel, or maybe once in forever. But Malach HaSharis are much more limited in when they can say Shira. The second milo we said was that Klal Yisrael is maskir the Shem Hashem after Shtei Teva. Shema Yisrael and then Hashem, whereas Malachi Asharis are maskir only after three tables, after three words, Kadosh, 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 and then Hashem Tzvakos. And the third was that Malachi Asharis are not allowed to say Shira Lamala until Klal Yisrael says Shira Lamata. So I saw an interesting aura. The Bala Akedah is quoted in the Birei Adaf over here. The Akedah suggests that this second Maila of not saying the Shem Hashem until after three words is actually a maila that the malachim have over Klal Yisrael, because the fact that they're able to be makdish the Shem Hashem al shlosha olamos, over three worlds, like the Targum says, li'olam li'ol me'olmaya, is they're able to be masig all of those worlds, but Klal Yisrael are not masig the li'olam li'ol me'olmaya. We're not able to be makdish him over three worlds because we don't have a saga of three worlds. We only have a saga over two worlds that we have some sort of sense on. But the third one, it can only be Hukdash Alidei the Malachim. So he says, why does it get listed as one of the ways that Klal Yisrael is more Chaviv than the Malachim then? So he says, no, it's not a third way that Klal Yisrael is more Chaviv than the Malachim. It's saying that even though our praises are so much fewer, it's emphasizing the other two, that even though our praises are so much fewer, and you would think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't interested, because what does he need praises that are so limited? Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still not only accepts our praises, but he allows us to praise him at every moment. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only accepts our praises, but he allows us to be the impetus for the Malachim to give the praises, that they're not allowed to sing Shira until we sing Shira Lamatzah. So it emphasizes how much love HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us with the other two points, even though we're so limited in the way that we're able to say the praises. And just two more points. The Toras Chaim writes that, just like it says in the Gemara over here, that we only mention the Shem Hashem after two words, that's why by every Dover Shabakdusha that Chazal were Mesaki Nechiyav on a person to be Mekadish or Mevarech, Chazal always set it up in such a way that we only mention the Shem Hashem after two words. For instance, all brachos that we say, Baruch Atah Hashem. It's Baruch Atah, and then Hashem. We always the Shem Hashem. The third word is the Shem Hashem. Also, after Tefillin Talmud Torah, when there's a minyan, there's a chiv to mekadish Hashem, and to say it's say kaddish. So that also they were masking the way they were masaking it was that we say Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Shemei Rabbah. That it's only after Yiskadal v'Yiskadash that we say that the Shemei Rabbah, that we mention the Shem Hashem. We say Yehei Shemei Rabbah Mevarech. When the Kehillah responds, it's Yehei Shmei, it's the second word. So even though we mention Shem Hashem after one word, that's because the Gemara is going to say, Kivin Dizyav Rishusa, the Gemara is going to have a comment that once we get the ball rolling, then you don't have to wait again for the third word. And the third example, says the Toras Chaim, Baruchu. When we say Baruchu, Baruchu es, third word is Hashem, not Baruch Hu Hashem. So again, in order that we shouldn't mention the Shem Hashem until the third word. What about Baruch Hashem Ham Baruch Yom Vad? So again, Kivin Disyav Rishusa Baruch Hashem Baruch Yom Vad is a continuation of that tefillah. And when once we have the right to do it, we have the right to do it even after fewer words. Now the Malachi Hashareis don't say Shira Lamala until Klal Yisrael says Shira Lamata. So the Aruch HaShulchan points out, the Aruch HaShulchan says, there's one problem. If you daven nusach svard in Kedusha, what do we say? Kesa yitnu l'cha, and we say va'amcha Yisrael kuvutze mati yachad kulam Kedusha l'cha yishaleshu. Yachad kulam Kedusha l'cha yishaleshu. That we all say together with the Malachim, we all say Kedusha together. But over here it sounds like the Malachi Ashares are not allowed to say Kedusha together with us. We need to say Kedusha first, and then they can say Kedusha. So the Aruch HaShulchan raises this question. This is This comes up. The Aruch HaShulchan is in Hilchos Shabbos in some Reish Pei Vav Seif Gimel. So the Aruch HaShulchan is mitarets that since Klal Yisrael already said Kedusha at Shachris, so that's why it doesn't have a Nusach Svar by Shachris. We don't have Keser, because once we already say Kedusha by Shachris, so by Musaf the Malachim could say together with Klal Yisrael Biyachad, because like we said before, that Kivin Disyav Rishusa, that once it becomes Mutter, it becomes Mutter. That's the Aruch HaShulchan's explanation. Okay, so says the Gemara Vaitu. Now we're at the bottom of the page on Daf Tzadi Alpha and Beis. So we went through those three Milos, and we said, so how can we say that one Malach says Kadosh, the other one says Kadosh, and the third one says Kadosh Hashem Tzvakos, the third one is not waiting till after three words? So the Gemara said, no, Ela Achas Omeres Kadosh, Vachas Omeres Kadosh Kadosh, Vachas Omeres Kadosh 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 Hashem Tzvakos. That it's not that the third one is only saying Kadosh Hashem Tzvakos, the first one says Kadosh, the second one repeats the first one's Kaddosh and adds his own, and the third one repeats what the first two say, and then adds Kaddosh Shem Tzvaka. So he is waiting until after three words. I, Frank the Gemara, Vahiika Baruch. What about Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimukomo, which is also praise that the Malachim give, right? The words of Kedusha are taken from the Sefer Yecheskel, and these are praises that the Malachim give. So nevertheless, nevertheless, it doesn't wait till after three words. And so the Gemara, Baruch Ofanim Huda Armilei. That's not said by the Malachim, that's said by the Ofanim. Ofanim are different. Rashi says Ofanim are Lemalim and Asrafim. They are from the Kisei HaKavod Atzmo. Whatever that means. Unclear exactly how to define what that means, but Rashi says that they are a higher level angel. Tosfos writes that which we say in the Brach of Yotzer Ar, Ha'ofanim v'chayos HaKodesh lu'umasam baruch yomeru, so you see that even the chayos say baruch, that's only the chayos that are better than the srafim, that are on a higher level than the srafim. So you have the ofanim and the chayos that are both on a higher level than the srafim. V'bayseima, or the second possibility, and this is what we keep on referring to, kiven d'isyav reshusa isyahiv, that once we already have permission, or the malachim already have permission to say the Shem Hashem, then you don't have to keep on waiting for the third word every time. You could just once you waited the first time for the third word for us, fourth word for the malachim, you could then say the Shem Hashem even at earlier stages in a sentence. Now the Gemara darshan vayashal malach liyuchal bacha v'yischanin lo, the pasuk in Sefer Hoshea Navi says Vayasha El Malach VeYuchal Bacha VeYischanin Lo. So someone is Vayasar. Someone is becoming a sar. Someone is becoming a master or an officer over somebody else. And somebody's crying to somebody. But it's, and the pasuk is about the fight with Yaakov and the Malach. Say in Yodeh Mi Nasa Sar Lemi. So just reading the pasuk, we don't know who's becoming a sar to who. Shuomer Kisarisim Elohim, Haviomer Orim Elohim, Haviomer Yaakov Nasasar Lamalach. When the Malach says that you have mastered over angels, so Yaakov becomes we see that Yaakov is one that became a sar over the Malach. Bachav Yischanin Lo, and you're there me Bachalami. From Bachav Yischanin Lo, we don't know who's crying to who. Shuomer Vayomer Shalcheni, Haviomer Malach Bachal Yaakov. When it says that the Malach said, please send me away, so we know that the Malach was the one that was crying to Yaakov. Now the Shlach Kadosh asked the obvious question, what do you mean you don't know who's crying to who? We just said that Yaakov became the Tsar over the Malach, so you know very well who's crying to who. So he gives some sort of teretz about how Yaakov, there are two elements of Yaakov, there's Yaakov and Yisrael, that Yisrael became the Tsar to the Malach, maybe Midin Yaakov, his other personality, Midin Yaakov, that was still crying. At least in the summary of it in the Biur Yadav, he doesn't explain clearly how to distinguish those two personalities and in what way Yisrael became the Tsar and Yaakov would have been crying, but that's what he suggests, that Yaakov had this duality, this dual personality. Kisarisa Elohim v'im Anashim, so he tells Yaakov, you not only mastered over Malachim, but also over men. Amar Rabba, Remez Ramaz Lo Shasidim Shnei Sarim Latzeis V'menu, Rosh Gola Shabavel V'nasi Shabaret Yisrael. He was giving him a remez that one day there were going to be two great princes that descend descend from him, the Resh Galusa and Bavel, and the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, who led their respective communities, and Mikan Ramaz Lo Galus. But the bad news is, if there's a Resh Galusa, it means that there's a Galusa. It means that there's a Galus. So he gave him the remiss to the fact that there's one day going to be a Galus. Rashi writes that the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael is the Elohim, the Resh Galusa Shem Bavel is Im Anashim, because the Elohim is for people who have smicha. That's why the pasuk says when it talks about judges, Ad Elohim Yavod Var Shnehem. The Gemara Masech Sanhedrin Darshins. How do we know that you need three judges? Because it says Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. It says it three times in the parsha of judges. So the Gemara says if that's the case, then Mida Oraisa, you should require three smuchim, because Elohim is always referenced to people who have smuchim. Anashim is the Reish Galusa Shabavel, because he was an Ashir and Karav Lamalchus. Anashim is always the lashon of Chashivus, the Meraglim. They were called the Anashim because Anashim is always a lashon of Chashivus. So, okay, so it's Chashva people in terms of politically. Begefen Shlosha Srigim, once we're interpreting more vague kinds of psukim, so we interpret the Ubegefen Shlosha Srigim, the dream of the Saramashkim that talks about the vines that he saw. And the Gemara is going to have eight interpretations, eight explanations of that pasuk. What do the vines represent? What do the eshkolos, the clusters represent? What do the grapes represent? Eight different interpretations. So number one, Amr B'chibar Abba Amrav, Elu Gimel Sarei Geyim, these are the three Sarei Geyim, the three high officers that come out of Klal Yisrael in every generation, three great leaders. Sometimes it's split two and one, two and Bavel, one in Eretz Yisrael, sometimes the reverse. And all the rabbis knew exactly who it was in their generation. They looked at Ravana Ukva and Ravana Nechemia, the Bnei Barti Derav, the grandchildren of Rav. They knew exactly that they were definitely the ones that were the two in Bavel, I guess. Rava Amar's second explanation, Elu Shlosha Sarei Goyim, those are our friends amongst the Gentiles, the three Goyim, the three highly placed non-Jewish government officials who are Melamed Zuchus on Klal Yisrael in every generation. Number three, Tanya Reb Lozer Omer, Gefen Zeha Olam. He gets much more specific. He says, Gefen is a reference to the world. Shlosha Sarigim Zeh Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. The three Sarigim are Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. V'hiko Parachas Olsa Nitza Elu Ha'imahos. When it describes the buds, that's the imahos. Hivshilu Eshkoloseha Anavim. When we describe the ripening of the clusters of grapes, Elu Ashvatim. That's a reference to the Shvatim. Amlo Reb Shuv V'Chimarn Lolada Masha Haya. V'Aloin Marn Lolada Masha Asid Lios. What kind of dream is that? A dream about what was? When you have when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing you something important in a dream, it's about what will be. I mean, it's a strange question. Normally, a dream is taka about what was. It's about something that you saw that day or something that triggered something in your mind. But there is different types of dreams. The dreams where we assume that the Tanakh writes down that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to give an indication of what's going to be, so then it wouldn't be something based on just something that they saw or they knew or something that was in the past. It will always be something in the future. And therefore, we have a fourth interpretation of what's going on in the dream. Ela Gefen Zetora. Shlosha Sarigim Elu Moshe Aharon Umiriam. The three Sarigim are three leaders that were yet unborn. Shlosha Moshe Aharon Umiriam. V'iko Parachas Olsa Nitza Elu Sanhedrin. Hivshilu Eshkolosa Anavim Elu Atzadikim Shebechol Dovredor. The Tzadikim of every generation. Amr Gamliel Adayin Srichon Olam Adoy. Amr Gamliel says, okay, nice pshad, but we still need to hear from Rabbi Lazar Amadoy. Demukun Leikuli B'chad Makom. Because Rabbi Lazar Amadoy is going to come up with a pshat that's going to make all of the details of the dream all happen at one time. Instead of saying, oh, you have Moshe Aharon and Miriam, and then the Sanhedrin, and then the Tzaddikim of every generation, where it goes, it spans history. And Rabbi Lazar Amadoy, we're confident, is going to be able to come up with a way that it's all in one time period. Rabbi Lazar Amadoy Omer, the fifth pshat, Gefen Zeh Yerushalayim, Shloshes Rigim Zeh Mikdash Melech V'Kohen Gadol, V'Iko Parachas Olsa Nitza, Elu Pirchei Kohuna, Hivshilu Eshkoloseha, Anavim Elu Nesachim. It all relates to the Beis HaMikdash and things that happened and people who are important in the context of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mokum b'matanos. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, a sixth pshat, says that it's about the special gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael. Dom Rabbi Shua ben Levi, gefen zu Torah. Shloshes rigim ze be'er amud anan uman. The shloshes rigim are the be'er, the amud anan, and the man. V'hikiparachas al-sanitza elu ha-bechorim, ha-bikurim. That's the bikurim, the first fruits that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses us with success in Gashmias. Hivshilu eshkolosel anavim elu nesachim. That's a reference to the nesachim. Number seven, interpretation number seven, Rabbi Yirmi bar Abba Amar, gefen elu Yisrael. Gefen is a reference to Yisrael. V'chenu Amar gefen mi Mitzrayim tasiya. It says that a gefen traveled out of Mitzrayim, was able to leave Mitzrayim. That's a reference to the Jewish people. Shlosha sarigim elu shlosha regalim. She Yisrael olim ben b'chol shana v'shana. The shlosha sarigim are the three regalim that we go up to Eretz Yisrael every single year during the Shalosh Regalim. V'hi ko parachas salsanitza, he gives man shel Yisrael lifros v'lirbos. Ki parachas salsanitza means that it became time for Klal Yisrael when we were in Mitzrayim to multiply a lot. V'cheinu amar b'nei Yisrael paru v'yishritzu. That's why the pasuk says that we were in Mitzrayim, we were paru v'yishritzu, we multiplied. Also nitza, he gives man zman and shall Yisrael igal. Also nitza means the time for geula came. Bechenu omer vayaz nitzcham abegadai v'chol malbushay agalti. Hivshilu eshkolosa an navim. He gives man and shall Mitzrayim lishtos kos hatarela. When it says hivshilu eshkolosa an navim, means it came the time for Mitzrayim to drink the bitter potion, to drink to suffer the consequences of what they did. V'hainu damarava shlosha kos samurus b'Mitzrayim lama. What are the reference to the three kosos in regards to Mitzrayim? Echot sheshasim yimei Moshe, one kos that Mitzrayim drank in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, when they suffered the consequences of having Klal Yisrael in servitude for so long. Vechot sheshasim yimei Paranecho, vechot sheshasidu lishtosim kola of the kochavim. Amar le Rabbi Abba le Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, ki darish lu rav lahani kroi bagadta kamaseich darish lu. Rabbi Abba said to Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, you should know that Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, the seventh interpretation of what was going on with the Gefanim, he said, you should know, when Rav would darshan agadata, he always said like your pshat. He always said like you, so you should know you have some pretty strong support in terms of what it's referring to. Now the Torah Chaim says that the reason that it says over here Dafka the Mashal to the Gefen is because Dafka in Mitzrayim, in the context of Mitzrayim, according to Rabbi Yirmi Barabbas Pshat, the Gefen is Klal Yisrael in regards to Mitzrayim. Because then we talk about how they were Gefen mi Mitzrayim tasiya. Why is it Dafka in regards to Mitzrayim that Klal Yisrael is compared to a Gefen? Klal Yisrael is compared to a lot of things. We're compared to a Yonah, we're compared to a ton of things. So why is it Dafka the Gefen in the context of Mitzrayim? So Torah Chaim says that the uniqueness of a Gefen is that Dorchin Oso, Uboatin Bo, it gets trampled on, it gets kicked, it gets stepped on, and then it becomes a davar chashav, and it's all al shulchan melachim, and it gets served on the table of kings. Klal Yisrael is meshubah to Mitzrayim, avodas perech, and they kicked us and they trampled us, and nevertheless, as a result of that, we reached the highest madrega. We were able to go from memtasharitumah to kabbalah satora. So we were able to be all al shulchan melachim. We were able to be mamlechas kohanim dafka after having been trampled on in such a way. That's dafka why it's gefen when it comes to Mitzrayim. The eighth and final pshat, Amr b'Shimon Lakish umazu kegefen nimshala. Klal Yisrael is like a gefen. Zmura shala shaba elu balei batim. The zmuros, the vines, are like the balei batim. Eshkola shaba elu tamidei chachamim. The clusters of grapes are the tamidei chachamim. The fruits in general are always a reference to Torah. That's why when the Gemara Maseches Sukkah darshens va'allahu lo yibol, that even its leaves shall not wither, the Gemara assumes that that's a reference to the sichas chulin of tamidei chachamim. Because the fruits are always Torah. So the leaves are considered like the non-Torah element. So what are we going to say over here? What are the olin of the grapevine? Olin Shaba Elu Amei Haaretz. That's a reference to the Amei Haaretz. They're the non-Torah element. Now Rashi, yeah, it's not just that they're a non-Torah element, but olin do have value. Rashi writes, olin Shaba Gefen Sovlin HaRuach Umaginim Al HaShkalos. They're able to hold back the wind and protect the fruits themselves. Shaliakim shara v'shemesh v'ruchos kach ha'me'aretz chorshin v'zorin v'kotz v'mashat tamidicham mochlin. Just like the leaves protect the grapes, the valuable grapes, from all of the elements, the ame'aretz do the dirty work that the tamidichamim shouldn't have to do, which is to prepare food and to work in the fields. And Rashi didn't make this up. Rashi didn't get this from the Gemara. So you see that's an important role that the ame'aretz play. And kinoknos, what are the kinoknos? To tell you the truth, I'm not sure, but I know Rashi says they're vidailish delochazulimidi. There's some part of the grapevine that is absolutely worthless. So I don't know which part that is, but there's some part of the grapevine that has absolutely no value. So elu reikanim shabi Yisrael. That's a reference to the reikanim shabi Yisrael, to the empty ones in Klal Yisrael, the ones who don't have anything. V'haynu d'sholch mitam libay rachamim iskalia al alia, that the eshkolos should daven for the leaves dil male alia lo meskaimin iskalia, because if not for the leaves, the eshkolos wouldn't survive. So that's a reference to tamidi chachamim should daven for the Amei Aretz, because the Talmidei Chacham need the Amei Aretz in order to be able to survive. Now it's interesting, Rekanim Shabi Yisrael, what exactly is that? That's less than Amei Aretz. So Pashtus is, if the Amei Aretz are being praised over here for the fact that they work at least, that they produce, that they are productive members of society, so the Rekanim are people that don't do anything productive even outside of the context of Torah. They're just unproductive kind of people. That seems to be the record of it. The Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, if I'm not mistaken, around Daf Lamed Tes or so, the Gemara says that the Gemara darshins a pasuk that afilu reikanim shabachar malei mitzvos karimon, that even the reikanim of Klal Yisrael have mitzvos karimon, are full of mitzvos like a rimon, and that's probably because Rotz Hakadosh Baruch Hu lezakos Yisrael l'ficha chirbim Torah mitzvos. The Gemara says, why did Hakadosh Baruch Hu have to aser eating dam? We're not going to eat dam anyways. Who wants to eat blood? So no, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to create so many mitzvahs that even by accident we end up falling into so many mitzvahs, that even the Reikanim are mali mitzvahs karimon, are full of mitzvahs like a pomegranate in Yana Dioma, Simanim coming up, the Rimon. That's the symbolism of the Rimon, that it's mali mitzvahs, not that there has to be Dafka 613 seeds in the Rimon, but that it's full of seeds, just like even the Reikanim are full of mitzvahs. Ve'echuli b'chamisha asar kesef, and he sold it for 15 kesef. What's this talking about? Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Yatzadik Ein Kira Lashon Mechira. Kira normally means digging. But over here, it's a Lashon of Mechira, of selling. Shneamar B'kivri Asher Karisili B'chamisha Aser Zeh Tezvav B'Nisan. Chamisha Aser is a reference to the 15th day of Nisan, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, bought Klal Yisrael. Shabo Nigalu Yisrael Mitzrayim, where Klal Yisrael became God's nation, he took us out of Mitzrayim. Kesef il tzadikim. That's a reference to the tzadikim. Chenior mitzrayim kesef lakach biyado. So it's through the tzadikim that Kodesh Baruch Hu gains a kinyan on Klal Yisrael. Chomer sorim v'lesach sorim ilu memei tzadikim sha'ol miskayim mehem. Chomer sorim v'lesach sorim is a reference to the 45 tzadikim that keep the world running. And other mamari chazal we say 36 tzadikim. There are other gemara say 36. Over here we say 45. Ve'en yodei m'shloshim kan v'tasvav berit. Solvim shloshim berit. We're not sure how the division goes, whether it's 30 in Bavel and 15 in Eretz Yisrael, or vice versa. Kishuomer vech hashloshim akesav hashlichos obeis Hashem al yotzer haviyom hashloshim Eretz Yisrael v'tesvav kain. But the pasuk goes on; it seems to give away the fact that it's 30 in Eretz Yisrael and 15 in Bavel. Abayi says, if you want to find where they are, most of them are in the shul underneath the ledge in the shul, meaning they're sitting in the back where you don't expect them. We're not talking about 45 big names. We're not talking about a big political body of 45 tzaddikim that everyone has pictures of in all the newspapers. We're talking about little tzaddikim that are big tzaddikim, but tzaddikim that you would never notice, that are off on the sidelines, that people wouldn't necessarily take notice of. V'ayinu d'ksiv omer aleihem im tov be'eneichem avus chari v'im lo chadlu v'yishkalu es chari shloshim kesef. Rabbi Yehuda omer Elu Shloshim Tzadikei Umos HaOlam. He says, no, it's a reference to the 30 Tzadikei Umos HaOlam. Shumos HaOlam Eskayim Behem Aleihem. That it's through those 30 Tzadikim that the Umos HaOlam survive. Not Tzadikim of Klal Yisrael. Ula Amar Elu Shloshim Mitzvos Shekiblu Aleihem B'nei Noach Vein Mekayimin Ela Shloshim. He says, those are the 30 Mitzvos that the B'nei Noach do, that the B'nei Noach were supposed to do, even though they only do 3. So this is very strange, because well-known Brisa Sanhedrin Daf Nun Vav Vav, where it says Sheva Mitzvos Nistava B'nei Noach, that there are seven mitzvos that B'nei Noach were Mitzvah in, and the Gemara darshan's Psukim to learn out what the seven mitzvos are. So where do we get 30 mitzvos from? So the Ramami Panu writes that the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, it's like the Aseres HaDibros. The Aseres HaDibros aren't 10 mitzvos, they're 10 Dibros. They include many more than 10 mitzvos. The Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, even though we call it Sheva Mitzvos, they're really seven categories of mitzvos. And he goes through and he shows how it's really 30. Avodah Zarah is Maver Be'ish Kosei Ma'onein Menachish Mechashiv Chover Chover Ov Yudoni Dorish Alamesim. 10 separate mitzvos in Avodah Zarah. Gilei Arayos has two mitzvos, I say. The Isra of the Zachar, the Kilei Behema, Sirus, Ruchavas Ilan. He has seven mitzvos in total. It's Beis Mitzvos, I say. Four mitzvahs lo sasei plus Gilei Arayos itself. Shvichus Damim has two mitzvahs, Sotah lo shel Yisrael. Birchas Hashem, Kavod HaTorah is tafel to it, Lasuk B'Torah, that B'nai Noach have to be involved in certain things. Kavod of that even a Ben Noach that's also in Torah is like a Kohen Gadol. So that includes three mitzvahs. Gezel, it includes two mitzvahs. Dinim is another two mitzvahs. Aver Menachai is a total of four mitzvahs. So altogether, he counts up that you have 30. That's how the Ramami Panu says. The Torah Tzmimah says a little different. Torah Tzmimah says no, you have six and then you have dinim. Now dinim means that they have to set up a system whereby if one person damages another person, they're going to be chayiv for the damages. How many avos nezikin are there? So in Maseches Bava Kamma, Rabbi Chiya teaches that there are esrim v'arba avos nezikin, and it goes through all the 24 avos nezikin. So if you count 24 avos nezikin plus six others of the mitzvos b'nei noach, so that's how you end up with 30 mitzvos. Now that's a question: are the b'nei noach mitzuva to set up a justice system where everything that we would punish for, they punish for? Or are they just mitzvah to set up a justice system that makes sense? A justice system that's actually, that's just going to keep society running. So there's a Tshuvas HaRamah, where the Ramah says that it's taloi on which word in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis we learn out the chiyuv of dinim from. The Gemara has two possibilities. Either it's from the word Elohim or Elohim, and we darshan it from the requirement of, and we know that it refers to dinim, because when we describe going to Beis Din, we use the word Elohim. If that's the case, then they have to set up a system of justice similar to our system of justice, where they punish for all those things that we punish for. However, the other possibility, the Gemara says, is that they learn from, again, Vayitzav, I think, is the other word that they learn from in the Gemara, and the Gemara associates that with the pasuk by Avram Avinu, that's where we learn dinim from. Now, Avram Avinu is before Kabbalah Satorah, so then they would only have to set up a system of justice that makes sense. It wouldn't have to be a system of justice that's exactly like our system of justice, and maybe it wouldn't involve all of these chavdalit avos nezikin. So it may depend on that issue, depending how you understand what exactly the requirement of B'nai Noach is. But anyway, the Gemara says, they only keep three. They're supposed to have 30, they only keep three. What are they? So number one, unbelievable. Achas shein kosvin ksuva l'zacharim. Even though they do violate Mishkav Zachar, they violate the homosexuality, nevertheless, they at least have the decency not to call it marriage. They at least have the decency not to write a ksuba. So that's at least. So nowadays, they keep two. The achas she'in shoklin basar ames makulin. One of them is that they don't take off the flesh of a dead body with iron combs. And number three, the achas she'mechabdin es haTorah. At least they are mechabed the Torah. That they have those three. Those are the three that they actually keep of the 30. Now, this is a little bit difficult. The Torah Tzmimah's Vard is a little bit strange now, because which of the seven mitzvahs is mechabdin es haTorah? I mean, he said it's the six mitzvahs that we know of, and then dinim includes the 24 of us in Zikin. Where's mechabdin es haTorah on the list? We're saying that of those 30, they keep three of them, so it sounds like these belong on the list. The Ramam Panu had mechabdin es haTorah on the list. I think he included it within Birchas Hashem. He included mechabdin es haTorah. So you got to figure out where Shulkin Basar Ames Makulin fits in. Obviously, the first one fits in with Kivei Arayos, but again, this whole line of Gemara is very difficult according to that vart of the Torah Tzmimah, that it's the six plus the 24. Okay, ve'inu noig ba'ov. Now, okay, we're done with Haggadah Tefer now. Back to, we're learning the Halachas of Gidon Asher. So the Mishnah said that Gidon Asher is not Noig Ba'ov, but it said because biologically it can't be Noig Ba'ov because the oaf doesn't have, or not, can't be, but it isn't because the oaf doesn't have a kaf. So says Gemara, V'kachazin Disley, what are you talking about? Sure it does. The oaf has a kaf, has a, how would you define a kaf? A spoon, right? I mean, literally, it's a spoon, but it's a spoon-shaped bone by the thigh. So the oaf has that also. So islay v'lo'agil, yeah, he has it, but it's not rounded. So by Rabbi Yirmi, islay la'oaf v'agil, islay behema v'lo'agil mai. What if an oaf had one that was rounded, or what if behema had one that wasn't rounded? Then what would be the din? So basa didei aslinan or basa minei aslinan? Would you go with that animal and say, okay, we look whether it's rounded or not rounded, and if the oaf has a rounded one, then good, then we'll be knowing the Yisra of Gidon Asher. And if the behemoth doesn't have a rounded one, we won't be knowing the Yisra of Gidon Asher. Or do you say no? Since behemoths in general have a rounded calf, so mela, all behemoths, even if they don't have a rounded calf, there's an Yisra of Gidon Asher. And since oaf in general doesn't, mela, they're never going to be in Gidon Asher. So where's the teiku? We don't know. We don't have a final answer. The Meiri writes that even though the lahalacha would be asur misafek, so you don't have to check. You don't have to look for the rounded calf because it's a mi'chein ha-matzoi, and that's the rule. When it comes to mi'chein ha-matzoi, we don't have to look for it. So there's a kasha that all of the Rishonim ask, or at least all the Rishonim from Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ran, that entire school of Rishonim, all ask a kasha, why is it that the Gemara over here is not sure whether we go basar didei or we go basar alma, whether we go basar this particular bird or we go basar the general rule. And yet when it comes to Hilchas Tefillin and it comes to a lefty putting on Tefillin, we're very clear about how we paskin. We paskin that a lefty puts on Tefillin on his right hand and we go basar didei. He puts it on his weaker hand. Why is it so pashut by Tefillin and not so pashut over here by Gidon Asher? So the Rashba gives two answers. He says either because dafka b'Tefillin, the Gemara has a special drasha. The Gemara says Yad Cha spelled with a hey, we dash means Yad Keha. That it's the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kavdal, that it's Yad Keha, that it's the weaker hand. So since it dafka has a drasha in the Gemara that it always gets put on the weaker hand, even if you're a lefty, it gets put on your weaker hand. Second Teretz Rashba has is no, not that Tefillin is the exception, is that it's dafka over here that there's reason to assume it should go basar mine and not basar this particular bird or animal. Because Klal Yisrael, the Isra of Gidon Asher came about because of a Maisa Shahaya with Yaakov Avinu fighting with the Malach. So there was a Metzias. Yaakov got hit on one side of his body, not on the other side of his body. So, or forget about the sides. Yaakov Avinu got hit, and his biology was made up a certain way. So maybe it should only be when it an Isser if you have a similar makeup to the way Yaakov Avinu's thigh bone was made up. So it's Dafka is an exception to the rule by Gidon Asher, not the exception by Tefillin. The Mainafkamina, whether Tefillin is the exception or Gidon Asher is the exception, if these are the only two examples where we're questioning whether we go Basar Didei or we go Basar Alma, so Nafkamina is, the Rashba says these aren't the only two examples, there's a third example. Chalitza. What do you do with Chalitza on Chazal Darshan that you need Chalitza b'yamin, Dafka? So what do you do with the lefty? It has to come up, right? What do you do with the lefty chalitza? So he says it depends on these two terutzim. According to the second terutz, it's dafka gabay gid, where there's room for a suffix that maybe we don't go bus with this individual, but by all other dinei Torah we'd go bus with the individual. So chalitza would be on the left foot of the lefty. But according to the first terutz, that by tefillin it's dafka the yad keha, but everywhere else it's a suffix. So in chalitza you would have to do it on both feet, be suffix. However, the smack and the smag, right, the chalitza, you always do with the right foot. Even an eater is chalitz b'yamin shel kol adam, because the Torah says yamin b'feirish, so you can't be mechalik between a lefty and a righty. There is a fourth sheet, and that's the Ramban, that Ramban says maybe we should be choshish that a lefty simply can't do chalitza, that they're excluded from chalitza, just like a lefty kohen is possible for the avodah. You don't just say he does the avodah with the left hand, he's excluded from it, because there is no yamin. So when he's excluded, maybe you'd say that by the same by chalitza. Okay, vayta, v'noig b'shlil, we said that it's knowing on a fetus as well. So Amar, Amar Shmuel, the chalba mutl divra kol. Its chalav is mutl according to everybody. So chalba demai, whose chalav? Chalav of what? Ilem de shalil, if you're talking about the chalav of the fetus, vamifle pligibe, that's a machlokas. Titania noig bishlil, the chalba asa divra meir. Rabbidom rein noig bishlil, the chalba mutter. So you see that there is a machlokas about the chalav of the shalil. So how can you say that's a pure statement in the Mishnah that it's the divra, and that's the divra I call that it's mutter. V'omer blazer, v'omer boshia, machlokas beben tisha chai. The machlokas is a 9-month fetus that is living. V'halach ramei l'shitasav, Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasav, and this is Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda going l'shitasav. Remember, we had this discussion way back when we were discussing Ben Pakua. V'elach chelbo de gid. So it must be that we're talking about the chelev of the gid itself. But hamifluk pligi, that's also a machlokes. Hamifluk pligi, but the tanya gira nasha mechatit acharav bekol makom shahu v'chotek shmenu meyikaru divra meir. The gira nasha, you dig after it and you find it wherever it is, and you cut out the fat from any place where it's absorbed into the basar. That's Rav Meir. Rabbi Domer gomumo imashofi. The chelav Rashi says gomu mashofi achelav agvoa v'nira al shofi gomu mashlicho mipnei maris ha. This is only the outer fats that are sticking out that look bad, where it's going to look like you're eating the giranasha, that you have to get rid of. But the stuff at the base where you're not going to see it anyway, so it's not going to be a marisayin problem. So then you don't have to worry about it. So you see that it's a machlokas about the chelav of the gid. So it says Marna Yolam Chalbot Gid Umod Shmuel Drameir Midraban Nasser. Shmuel's moda that according to Rav Meir, midrabanan, it's going to be aser. Shmuel had said that everyone holds its mutter, meaning on a daraisa level, but midrabanan, Rav Meir will say it's aser. The tanya v'shmenu mutter v'yisol kadoshim nagubo iser, that it's really mutter, but yisol kadoshim is no iser. So isn't that talking about the sheet of Rav Meir? My love, Rav Meir, he damar mutter min haTorah v'aser midrabanan. That statement is a reflection of the sheet of Rav Meir that it is mutter midaraisa midrabanan it's aser. So says more no mimai dilma Rabbi Yehudahi. Maybe that's a reflection of the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Of the Rameir Midaraisa not Miyasir, but according to Rabbi Meir, maybe we also even Midaraisa. And therefore we're back to the Kasha. How can Shmuel say that Divrei Kol, that the Chelev of the Gid is Mutter? So lo salkadaitach titanya giranasha mechatit achrav b'kol makam shu shmeinu mutter. Man shamalei disle chatita, who's the one that says that you have to dig after it and you have to look for it? That's Rabbi Meir. V'kamer shmeinu mutter. Rabbi Meir says that the shuman, the fat, is going to be mutter. So you see that Rav Meir holds that the shuman is that the chelav agir, at least on the daraisa level, is mutter. You know, chinami midrabanan, he holds its aser. Amrav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta Amrav lo aser Torah el knoknos shabo. The Torah only asers the small gidin that go across the length of the thigh underneath the flesh, from the gira chitzon to the gira pnimi. They're also because they're very soft and they you can eat them. They taste like basar. So since they're tasty, that's what the Torah asks. The Torah asks is something that has some flavor to it. Ula Amar, Ula says no. Ula says, even though the gira nasha is a piece of wood, it's not literally a piece of wood, but it tastes like a piece of wood, it doesn't have any taste, the Torah still is mechayivas. Normally, machalos asurus, like we said, avodazar, daf samach zayin, the gemara darshins, nevela ruya leger is kri nevela, v'shein ruya leger is in a kri nevela, that only that which is edible is considered non-kosher food. If it's not edible, if it tastes like a piece of wood, so then it's not considered machalos asuros. But gira nasha is an exception. Even if ain't begidim nosin tam, even if it's an eitz bi alma, nevertheless, it would still be asur to eat. Amar Abayi kavase dula mistavra. Ula is most logical. Damar Rav Sheshes Amar Rav Asi chutin shebechelav asurin vein chayavin alayhen. Alma chelav amar Rachmanav lo chutin. That the chutin shebechelav by the kidney and the chelav al hakerev, they're chutim dakum, they're asur midrabanan, but you're not chayiv kares for them. So you see, by chelav, the Torah says that it's the chelav and not the chutin. Hachanami gira marachman of lo knoknos. So the same thing over here. When the Torah asks the gira nasha, it means the gira nasha. It doesn't mean the small veins that go from the gira chitzon to the gira panimi. No, it means the actual gira nasha. In hachanami, it tastes like eitz bi alma. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll pick up from Gufa. Mir Hashem tomorrow.